Every Woman is a womanist show about women making a difference and the men by their side. As 50% of the world's population and 52% of the eligible U.S. voters, women are not a special interest group, and every woman should work and vote toward nothing less than 50-50%. Help me out, ladies. Thank you. I'm tongue-tied. In the social, political, economic, and environmental arenas. The opinions and views expressed on Every Woman are those of the host and the guest and do not necessarily represent those of the KKFI board, staff, volunteers, or sponsors of KKFI and the Mid-Coast Radio Project Incorporated. Oh, good afternoon, Kansas City. This is Molly Postlewaite for Every Woman, and I'm joined in the studio here with, of course, Sharon Lockhart, Amy Bell as our engineer, and my guests, Lisa Holliday, and also Davey Witterer. And she's going to be talking later on in the show about loving yourself, accepting yourself, having experiences and adventures no matter what your age or ability. But first, we're going to visit with Lisa Holliday, and welcome to Every Woman, Lisa.
Thank you.
I have to be honest, I've been trying to get Lisa down here to be a guest for quite some years now because she's got a great story to share. She is one of my coworkers with Johnson County Park and Recreation District, and she has the coolest job title ever. Introduce your job title.
My job title is the Adventure Program Coordinator at Timber Ridge Adventure Center.
And for those who may not know what an adventure coordinator is, tell us a little bit about what you do in your job and the site that you are at.
I work at Timber Ridge Adventure Center, which is, like you said, part of Johnson County Park and Recreation District. And it is a public facility. However, it is not an open facility. So it is a facility that you can use if you have rented one of the buildings that we have there. And we have a welcome center and a shelter that we rent out to the public. And then we have a challenge course program that we run. And that's primarily why the site is closed. And then we also have it as a closed site so that it can be used with children, and hopefully potentially in the future it will be an overnight campsite for children in the Johnson County area, and other areas can come and use it, but it's it's put there for Johnson County residents and such. And so I run that program also. I do the staffing and the training of the challenge course facilitators for that. And then if you were wanting to rent a facility, you would contact me and I would do your contract and set up tours and things like that for you. And then in the summer, I run summer camp and I do specialty camps with children. And my camps generally range from 12 to 15 or 16 maybe. And then the other thing that I should tell you about is our open house that we have going on in April. So April 26th, which is the last Saturday in April, we have an open house. And we do that every year. We've done that since I started there, and I've been there 9 years now. And the facility is open to the public from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. that day, no charge. So it's a free event. It's an awesome family event. And depending on what age ranges your kids are, we've got different activities going on for that. And so we have boating, fishing. Cops and Bobbers comes in, and they supply fishing poles and things like that that you can check out. And then our boats are kayaks, canoes, or paddle boats, and those are age dependent. So you have to be certain ages to get in those. Paddle boats are any age. Canoes, basically any age for adults, but you've got to be 8 and up to get in a canoe unless you've got an adult with you, and then 12 and up to get in a kayak by yourself. And then we do the archery range and the BB gun range that day. And we have a family fun treasure, and the animals from our New Miller Nature Center come out, and everybody's
course,
there.
There's also a 40-foot climbing tower.
Oh, yes, and we have the climbing tower. I'm sorry, I forgot about that. And it's open from 9 to 12. If you pre-register, it's still free, but you have to pre-register, and you have to sign a waiver and a health liability form for that day, and there's only 40 spots available on that.
All right. And so folks from Jackson County, Johnson County, anyone is welcome to come out, and they could go on the Timber Ridge website if they wanted to get more information.
Yeah, actually, I think it's under jcprd.com.
Okay. Right.
And they would Google, like on that website, they would search for the Timber Ridge Open House, and then it would pop up for them. Or they can always call for it too.
Well, for people who maybe are not familiar with the term a challenge course, you know, back in the day, I have to say I'm old school, we would have called it a ropes course. And sometimes people think it's an obstacle course, but it's really more for problem solving. A challenge course helps you be creative in problem solving. But what would be your opinion on that?
It's funny that you're talking about that because my husband has been dying to get his staff out there for a long time, and he thinks it's an obstacle course because he sees the tower and the high events and things like that, and he thinks they're just going to come out and play. And I keep telling him, that's not what you would do. You're going to have to talk about it, and you're going to do activities together as a team, and then you're going to talk about how you worked together as a team and what you did, and maybe some things would come to light on how you could change some of your work processes and how you communicate with your staff and how they communicate with you and those different kinds of things. But we do that for all kinds of companies. We have lots of companies that bring their teams out and do that. And then we have a lot of schools that bring their kids out and do it as a field trip. And we do it from 9 to 2, and it's usually 6th grade. We have done some 5th grade with some of the schools. They've changed their age range, but they come and spend a day and learn about each other. They get to know each other a little bit better, and in a different kind of environment. It gets people out in nature, which we talk about, and I'm sure you've probably talked before about kids being in nature and just how much healthier it is for them.
I just wanted to throw in there, I actually did go do the challenge course when I was in 6th grade at my elementary school. At your facility.
Okay.
And it was fantastic.
What school did you come from?
It's gone now. But it was West Antioch, but it's been gone for years.
Actually, you probably went to, what was the place over? You started working over there.
Adventure Woods.
Well, there's several in the area, but it sounds like.
Because Timber Ridge has only been around for about 10 years.
Okay.
She's
pretty
young.
Yeah. I mean, you are pretty young, but I'm not sure if you're quite that young. If you are, then I'd feel
young.
Really, really old.
It's the same concept.
When I started doing this, I had a friend, Coquette Collins, that had been down to Wildwood. And she's my age, she's a few years older than me, actually, and she remembered it as a huge memory for her in her lifetime and her school career.
It is an incredible experience, really, for all ages, and I know there are so many different issues that come up, such as bullying, tolerance for others' ideas, being creative, and, we could do a whole show on the concept of challenge course, but I really would love for you to share with our listeners one of your ideas that maybe you've been around for 4 or 5 years, the Independent Spirit Camp for Girls.
Okay, I'm going to go back on you just for a second.
Sure.
Because when we were walking up the stairs, we were talking about perspectives and how it really changes your perspective. If I've learned anything, I have definitely learn that from the challenge course, because if you are not in agreement with somebody, sometimes you just need to take a step back or turn around and look in the other direction, and it can really change how you are perceiving where they are. And I have learned that from the challenge course and my staff and things like that. And then what you were talking about was an Independent Spirit for Girls. And that really honestly came about because of your Girl Power Camp that you did. So when I started at Johnson County Park and Rec, Molly was running a camp called Girl Power. And it was basically our amazing adventure camp that was male and female. And she just made it an all-girls camp. And I liked it okay, but it was not one of my favorite camps, if you want me to be honest. And I just felt like we could expand upon it, and that is where the Independent Spirit of Girls came from. My father died when I was 15, but I have really strong memories of just hanging out with my dad and doing things with him. And he just taught me at a very early age, just that I could do anything. You know, there's a story about my father. I have a twin sister, and it's just she and I, and my parents basically got lucky, and they had two of us at the same time, but my dad wanted a boy. You know, it was the story that we were told, and he walked up and down the hall, is what we were always told, trying to see if somebody would trade for a boy. And, you know, it sounds terrible, but my dad loved us girls to death, and I know that he did, but he wanted us to be independent. He wanted us to be able to do things for ourselves. And I just felt like he really instilled that in me. He taught me at a very young age the names of different tools. So the difference between a straight-edged screwdriver and a Phillips screwdriver and a crescent wrench and needle nose pliers and a hammer, you know, and how to use a hammer. And I remember him working out on the cars and things like that. Well, then I lost him when I was 15. But I had learned so much of that stuff because he had taught me that when I was younger. And women are not taught that. I mean, I don't think that girls are learning those kinds of skills. And that is where that came from in that independent spirit of, for girls camp. And like when I was in high school, I remember having a flat tire at church, you know, and it never even occurred to me to go in and ask one of the men to change my tire. I was like, I should know how to change a tire. So, I mean, and really, honestly, you can find the directions in the manual if you look at it. They tell you how to do that.
When all else fails, read the instructions,
manual.
Yes.
And I think I've had three flat tires. I had one on the highway one time when I was in college. And thank God I was independent enough and knew how to change one at that point in my life, because I can't tell you how many people drove by. And nowadays, you don't necessarily want somebody stopping and helping you on the side of the road. And if you're in a situation where you don't have AAA or that kind of thing, you better know how to change a tire. And I mean, I was on the road from Manhattan to Topeka, so I figured out how to change my little spare tire and drove my 45 miles down the road to get to Topeka and drove off the road and had it changed and fixed at a Walmart or someplace like that. But that's where independent spirit for girls came from, because I really feel like if they're 16 and able to drive a car, they should know how to take care of it and they should know how to change a tire.
So do you actually bring a car in and the girls go through the process?
We do. I have a work truck. It's a little Ford Ranger. And it was a little intimidating to do that on my work truck. And I'm sure my boss thought I was a little crazy at the time. And you and I both work for him, and we love him to death. But sometimes he kind of looks at you, raises his eyebrow at you, and he'll be like, "You want to do what?" But we work it out where I drive that truck in that day. And we park it down by the nature center. And the girls take turns, and we get the manual out, because I don't want them to know how to change a tire on my truck. That doesn't do them any good. I want them to know about the process and to know that they can read the manual in any car that they're in, and they can change the tire. And so we get the manual out, and 12 girls and I go through the steps, and they look at me like I'm crazy sometimes, like, "We're going to do this?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I'm not doing it. I know how to change the tire. You need to know how to change the tire." And they work on taking the lug nuts off and those kinds of things. Mm-hmm. And we talk about, you know, why, you know, it says to leave the tire on the floor, on the ground, while you're loosening them, and you just want to loosen them a little bit, and then you raise it up with the jack, and they take turns on that. And the Ford Ranger is a little bit different as far as getting the tire off of it, because the spare tire is under the truck, and so it has this very strange thing where you have to put the jack together, and then you have to feed it through a hole and stick it in it to get the tire to even lower down. So they have to get under the truck to get it lower down and those kinds of things. And then we go through regular car maintenance, to the best of my ability. And most of the time nowadays, I think they could probably get all of that taken care of if they go in and get their oil changed and levels and things. But it doesn't hurt them to know how to check their oil level. It doesn't hurt them to know how to check their transmission level or basic general care. And it's one of those things, I guess, I don't necessarily feel like we as parents and educators or even in our schools are teaching our children how to do this. And boys kind of tend to learn it because they hang out with their dads, but we forget about the girls. And they need that skill too, because I think my dad was probably the same way. My dad did not want me to be dependent upon a man, I don't think. And
makes you more aware, so when you are going in for a service check, people can't take advantage of you and your ignorance of the engine and the operation of your vehicle.
I have had a mechanic try to take advantage of the fact that I was a woman and probably stupid, and tried to tell me that my tires were about to explode or something because it had moderate cupping. And I said, "Get out of here. Just don't even talk to me anymore." Like, yeah. "It's going to buzz a little obnoxiously at worst. Just get out of my face."
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I just don't like to see our girls in a situation where they feel like they have to have a man taking care of them. And that is where that camp came from. And they it is a different kind of girl, and I don't even really know how to describe, but I've just noticed that that camp really specifically draws a different style of girl, mm-hmm. and they really are very interested in knowing. I mean, that I have kids on the evaluations that is why they took the class, is because I was going to teach them how to change a mm-hmm. tire. And that's not the only thing uh-huh. we do.
Yes, and what other things would you do?
I teach first aid, CPR. I started doing that a couple years ago, and I think that's a really good skill for everybody to know. We do fishing. I think we do fishing in that camp. I can't remember if we do fishing in that camp specifically or not. We go in out to Timber Ridge and we spend time in the boats and the canoes and the kayaks, and we spend some time on the challenge course doing team building as a mm-hmm. camp and getting, you know, it's good for all of us to do team building. Mm-hmm. And then we do swimming. I mean, we do typical camp type activities.
Yeah, fun stuff too.
We eat lunch. We do some crafts and activities mm-hmm. and things like that. And then we do the car maintenance day. And I think that's about it. It fills up pretty quick. It doesn't sound like a lot, but it really fills the days up when you're spending
time. And it's a week
time.
Long.
It's 4 days. It's Monday through Thursday, and it's mm-hmm. in July, I believe, and I didn't check the dates before I came in. I forgot to look at that. But you can find it at jcprd.com right. under Independent Spirit for right. Girls. It's a nature and science camp, which is through the Nature Center, even though it meets at the Ernie Miller Nature Center, and that's where our pickup and drop-off at is, mm-hmm. and it's 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., and then, but we spend time out at Timber Ridge. So mm-hmm. all of my camps are pick up and drop off at Ernie Miller, so but we drive out to Timber Ridge and spend time
a great
out there.
Active time for these young ladies to try some new things and some new adventures. Well, Lisa, you have had some new chapters in your life. And so I would love if you would maybe just talk a little bit about the last maybe 3 years. You've had some pretty life-changing episodes. If you'd share with us the journey that you've been on as a woman.
Well, when I started at Timber Ridge about 9 years ago, I met... Just about 6 months after I started, I met a man that also worked for the Park District. And we dated about 5 years. We got married in 2010. So that was a big change to go. And I'm 40, so I was, 38, I think, when I got married. And I had never been married before, so that was a big change to go from being a very independent person to being married. And he has 2 kids from a previous marriage, so I went straight into not only being married, but being a stepmom and just they're very active in sports and things like that. And so that was just a really big scheduling change. And my job is very demanding scheduling-wise as it is. You know, I've run the facility, and then I also do the rentals, and I'm there to open them and close them and just juggling all of that around and then trying to be a mom and do grocery shopping for 4 of us and planning meals and cooking meals and all of that stuff was a really big change.
Well, I know you had mentioned at one time your idea of dinner was maybe a salad, chop up a few, you know, pieces of chicken or cheese, but his idea of dinner was something different, so he had to kind of...
Well, and I can make a casserole and eat on it for 5 days. I'm okay, you know, and if I make a casserole with him around, it's gone, 2. He takes it for lunch, we eat it, and it's where in the world is all the food? So just getting used to the quantity of food that gets eaten when there's more, when there's men just eat more, you know, and we have and then you have the kids every other weekend because you're on that divorced schedule and those kinds of things. So you have one schedule 1 week and then you have a different schedule the other week. And it just, that was hard. Mm-hmm. And then unfortunately when I got married, I started having some health problems right away, and that was hard for us. So not only did we have that, but we ran into some health problems. And then, and that year was just really, really rough. We had a lot of things that just we were struggling with. And then I got pregnant and I had a miscarriage. And then 2 months after that, I had a major car accident and broke my neck and ended up in a halo for 14 weeks. And that was quite, and I remember at the time I was on Sunday on the way to church Sunday morning, and I made them call my church and tell them I was going to be late. I wasn't going to be there because I was supposed to be there for I was an elder. I was supposed to be there for an elder that day. And then before I was, they were trying to put me in an ambulance, and I was like, you've got to call my husband. My cell phone wouldn't work. And before they put me in the ambulance, I was like, you've got to call my husband. And so I made them call my husband, and he's getting that notice. And of course, we had the kids that weekend. And
and you have then recovered.
Yes, I have. And then on Sunday, I'm calling my boss, telling him I'm going to be fine because I was fine. And then 2 days later, I had a broken neck, and it totally changed our whole. I mean, that was I'm not going to be fine. I'm not even going to be back at work, really. So that was a really big change. And then now I'm a mom. We got pregnant not too long after I got out of that, and I have a daughter that's 15 months old. And but I remember at the time when the accident was happening. I recovered, and I thought I recovered, and then I thought, and I just never ever really totally recovered enough to keep it from happening. And I remember at the time being like, oh crap, my husband's going to be pissed because I'm going to wreck the car. And then at the next moment, I was like, oh crap, I just have to survive this. I have got to survive this. And now you would never know. I haven't had any problems. I still do the challenge course. I mean, if I was going to have an accident like that, we would have thought it would have been from a challenge course accident.
I have to say, it was pretty scary seeing you walking around with that halo. We were like, be careful. Be careful.
Oh, yeah. My staff thought I was all breakable. Yeah. But it was. But you would never guess it now. Mm-hmm. And I did survive it. Mm-hmm. I totally survived it. And it has just been wonderful to have my daughter and to be around for that and to know that I'm fully functioning.
And she brings just a whole new dimension to your life.
Oh,
being a mom. I mean, I know you were very active with Chuck's kids, but, you know, to have Sadie.
Well, it really is different. It's not that his kids don't like me necessarily, but I'm not their mom, so they don't love me in the way that Sadie loves me. I'm her mom, so she thinks, I mean, just like all of kids hopefully think their mom and dad is in. Now she's totally a daddy's girl, and she will choose him over me half the time, but that's okay. I am thrilled to have her,
and you've got such a great active dad. What would you say would be, I mean, being a mom after having had such a vivacious career, adapting, what do you have any secrets to share with other, because this is the story of so many women juggling their families, their careers, their health issues.
And that really has been a challenge for me. My husband's not a big talker. And I think a lot of us women struggle with that. Our husbands don't necessarily fulfill that need that you have. And I don't think it's because they don't want to or they don't love you. They just don't know how to do it. They don't understand what you need from them. And so for me, I think really honestly what helped me get through a lot of those time periods was my church and the relationship that I had there. And I've been a member there for probably 20 since I moved here. And that was in 97, and they were a tremendous support for me. And the staff that I work with, and they're part-time staff, which a lot, and I think that's part of what people don't totally understand about the challenge course and the Nature Center staff. We go through the challenge course every year together because we do training on that together. Mm-hmm. And there is just a certain amount of bonding and just sharing that happens on that you cannot duplicate anyplace else. Mm-hmm. And my staff, when I was down, they stepped up to the plate, and I can't tell you how many times people brought meals out for us. They took me places so that I could just get out of the house because I couldn't drive. So I was basically at the mercy of whatever somebody wanted to do for me. And and just that the women in my life, I think, I'm part of a book club, and just see, you know, they would come and get me so I could still go to book club. Yeah. And they just, so I think for me, it would be maintaining and finding those mentors and positive mentors and people that are going to be positive with you about your relationships and know that they do go through ups and downs.
Mm-hmm.
But how, and the tricks that they have and things that they've learned that have made things easier and those kinds of things. Yeah. I know that I have, like for me, just putting a board on the refrigerator and I put the menus up for the week. Because I don't know if anybody else's husband does this. My husband will call me at 4 o'clock. What's for dinner tonight? I'm like, I'm at work. I'm trying to figure out what I'm gonna finish everything up by the end of the day and get home. I don't care about dinner right now. Figure it out when I get home. But that was stressful for me. And that was just when he could do it, you know, when he was thinking about it. And so I just started.
I have to butt in and say I can so totally relate to that. For 12 and a half years, I operated a delicatessen, and I would get a call from my husband at that time at about 1:30 wanting to know what was for dinner. And I hadn't come down from the lunch rush yet. There's an adrenaline rush that it's just so what you speak of is just so true.
And he didn't, I mean, that was a convenient time for him to talk to me about it because he's done with work at 3:30. But it was creating so much stress in my life, and it would just stress me out because I didn't know what was for dinner. I got home, I hadn't figured it out. And so for me, just that simple task of, okay, I have time on the weekend to figure it out. And then I can think about what's on sale, what I'm getting at the grocery store, what we're going to have for the meals for the week. And, like, tonight I had that we were going to have healthy chicken salad on the thing, and this morning he decided that he wasn't really crazy about that idea. Yeah. He wanted to have chicken taco or chicken nachos. And honestly, I think he gets stressed out when I put that up there that we can't change it. But I'm fine that he changed it, you know, and that he had a different suggestion for it. But I knew what was for dinner if he didn't.
Yeah.
You know, and so I do it for the week, and then we go do our grocery shopping on Sunday, and I know, and if anybody has not heard of Pepper Plate, it's a free app. It's www.pepperplate.com.
Oh, thank you.
And you can put all your recipes in there. I have tried so many new recipes because of this, and it will generate a shopping list for you. It's amazing. And so it's little things like that, I think, figuring out and finding that make your life easier. And so for the menu for me was finding the way to get rid of the stress that was being caused by it.
Well, Lisa, we've got to have you come back because you're just
definitely
well,
hints from Halloween.
Yes. You know, and also you've had an amazing story of you know, recreating yourself from your accident and all these new experiences in your life. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
We'd love to have you come back. And please stay tuned. We are going to have a little break here. We'll come back with Davy, who's going to talk about her journey. But first up, Amy.
We're going to have a little playing from the Sojourner Truth. So enjoy that.
All right.
Bring fresh, organic, and natural groceries to your doorstep. For fruits, vegetables, breads, meats, snacks, eggs, pasta, cheese, dressings, oil, coffee, tea, and more. Details available at kc.doortodoororganics.com.
Is it not true that the Constitution has not a single word in it against slavery? Are you attacking the Constitution, old woman?
Well, children, I talks to God, and God talks to me. This morning, I was walking out, and I climbed over a fence. I saw the wheat holding up its head, looking so big. I goes up, and I take hold of it. Would you believe it? There was no wheat there. I says, God, what's the matter with the wheat? And he says to me, Sojourner, there's a little weevil in it. A tiny beetle's weevil had ruined the wheat crop. The beetle was so tiny that it could crawl right inside the husk and hollow out the grain.
What's that got to do with the Constitution?
Now, I hears talk about the Constitution and the rights of man. I comes up and I take hold of this Constitution. It looks mighty big. And I feels for my rights. But they ain't there. Then I says, God, what else this Constitution? And you know what he says to me? Sojourner, There's a little weevil in it.
God is a great ocean of love, and we live and move in Him as the fishes of the sea.
Freedom, oh freedom, oh why don't you have a place for me? Freedom, oh freedom, oh why don't you have a place for me?
I live in the land of the free, oh yes, I live in the land of the free.
The world tried its hardest to take this dignity and love of mine.
She would not believe
I couldn't read nor write, but I never lost sight that I was more than a bunch of words printed on a page. Some of man's words are empty sometimes. There's much deception and hate behind his words. My hands were my words, and my voice was God's song of truth. The wording of these hands of mine and the written word of God's truth was forever on my tongue. How can you expect to do good to God unless you first learn to do good to each other? People would never get to heaven by lifting themselves up in a basket, but they must lift those up below them, and then they would all go up together. People would say to me, "Sojourner, why don't you learn to read the Bible?" And I tell you, the Bible is in me. The world didn't encourage me to read and write. The world didn't even care what date I was born. When a slave was born, it wasn't important to record a date of his birth. Just to know how soon they could be put to work was the only thing that mattered to the slave owners. The earthly value that man had placed on me was $100. My heavenly value, no man could ever come close to my worth. You see, I was a child of God. My Father was the creator of creation. And you can't get any richer than that.
The road of sorrow is the road to heaven. But there are wells of refreshing water along the route. Isaiah 52:7. How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things.
Sojourner Truth in Oak Hill Cemetery in Battle Creek, Michigan, on a beautiful, clear November day, 1883. More than 1,000 people filed past her casket. She wore the familiar white Quaker cap, and the white kerchief lay folded across her breast. Among the many gifts leaning against the casket was a sheaf of ripened grain from Kansas. The exodusters were the black migration to Kansas after the Reconstruction. Spring of 1879, 69,000 free men had made the long trip north to John Brown's state. North Topeka, Lawrence, Wyandotte, Leavenworth. The state of Kansas did indeed seem to be a place for Sojourner's people to settle. The land was fertile and the citizens friendly. The black earth grows gay flowers.
Crown Center, February 19th through the 23rd, featuring hundreds of local, national, and international musicians, plus film screenings, clinics, workshops, and exhibits with keynote speaker Graham Nash and global climate change presentation by Al Gore. Conference and music camp details and registration at folkalliance.org.
I have to make a comment about the last few moments of that song and words we were listening to, that the fact that these men and women came to Kansas as a free state, and where, the as she mentioned, the gay flowers growing, and I'm like, oh my God, Sojourner Truth would not recognize Kansas now. We used to be so progressive in this state, and we have gone so backward to being so anti-gay. Legislation just passed out of the House last week, I believe. I don't think it's law yet, but it's just now it's perfectly okay to discriminate in Kansas. And I'm just at a loss for how Kansas is turning into Brownbackistan. The first faith-based state is his aim for Kansas. So we as Kansans and actually people of the United States need to be aware and on vigil and on guard against anything like that happening. And now back to Molly.
Well, hi. I did want to just say thanks to the Sojourner Truth piece from Gail Moore. And perhaps you'll be inspired to maybe do some research on Sojourner Truth, her famous "Ain't I a Woman" speech, which is dear to many of our hearts. Anyway, we're back, and I'm going to let my next guest tell us about her journey. This is Davy Witterer, and she is with Midwest Interplay and the Lila Village. And thank you so much, Davy, for coming down, and it's always a joy to be around your energy. And tell us a little bit about what's going on for folks who've never heard of Interplay or Lila Village.
Right. Well, thank you, first of all, Molly and Sharon, for inviting me here today. I really appreciate that. And I think what I'd like to talk about first, I'd love to talk about Lila Village, which is an alternative school for, or alternative program for preschool children around art, movement, and creativity. And the other is Midwest Interplay. And Interplay is an international organization, which I am regional director, and I lead interplay groups to individuals of all ages. And I have the privilege of witnessing individuals' creativity, their play, their self-expression, redemption and transformation, and it's a delight. So I feel very privileged that I have that opportunity, and I can talk a little bit more of that. I wanted to talk today. I love the topic that you gave me, which is about reinventing yourself and how do we love ourselves no matter what age or ability. And I looked up in the dictionary about what is reinvent. And it says to make as if the first time something already invented, like reinventing the wheel, or remaking or redoing completely. The other was to bring into use again. And it brought up for me that we already know within our makeup, within our genes, already at birth who we are and what we're here to do. I believe that. And I think that we're called many times in life to reinvent ourselves. And I think as any individuals and as women, we get comfortable, we get complacent, and we're afraid to take risks. And we tell ourselves that we can't do it. I don't have time. I don't have money.
I'm
not
too
able.
Fat.
Yes, exactly. And I've reinvented myself many times in my life, and there was a quote by Joseph Campbell that was very inspirational to me, and it was, "We must give up the lives that we planned in order to live the life that's waiting for us." And I think as women, there's many roles that we have been conditioned by, like how does a woman act and to be seen or not heard, to follow the rules, play it safe, you know, don't rock the boat. And I think in this day and age, and as women, we're here to break the rules, you know, to reinvent ourselves, to make ourselves new, to be pioneers in the world, to make a difference for what we're passionate about.
Not to be defined by someone else's conception of what we should be. It's to be to design our own lives and just to take those risks. Another Joseph Campbell quote I love is, "The cave you fear to enter holds the most treasure."
Yes. And it's you know, as I keep going with this theme, it's like it's the hero's journey.
Mm-hmm.
And
the Shiro's journey, pardon me.
The Shiro's journey. You know, and I think it's, you know, I think we have, and when we're talking about perceptions, I think we have an idea about how hard it's going to be or what it's going to look like and how could I. And it just takes a small step. It just takes, you know, that we're not going to see what's at the end. We're not going to know what's ahead of us. But to know inside of us is that seed that we are capable, that we know the way. We may not be able to see it, but we know the way.
So in your own personal journey, what have been some examples of how you've been able to take those steps, mm-hmm. surrounding yourself with people who allowed you to have the creativity and the freedom to express?
Mm-hmm. I do. I think I'm kind of changing my my own perception about what it looks like. There's action to be, there's the inspiration, and then there's actions to take. And I think I've just been kind of, okay, take this action, take this action, take this action. And what I'm learning is to feel, to have a vision, and then to believe in that vision and continue. And I believe that there's fate, and there's also a sense of, as we're readied, as we go through this Shiro's journey, that there are circumstances that we need it. Like interplay showed up for me. Did I find interplay, or did interplay find me? And
how did that actually happen? How did you stumble upon that secret? Or
well, talking about
treasure.
Passion and loving your bliss and find your bliss and follow it. I had gone on a 3-year hiatus. It was a spiritual journey and a personal journey. And ended up at a sustainable living community where they had what's called the Heart of Now. And it's there that I discovered how much I love to dance. And when I moved to Kansas City, there was no it's called a static dance, and there was no a static dance or free-form dance in Kansas City, so I decided I was going to start my own. And so as I was looking in the web, or on the, you know, on the web, I came across Interplay, and I couldn't even read it all because it was just like this moth at the light. There was so much that resonated with community, with connecting with yourself, with creativity, with self-expression. And what I learned from Interplay for myself, there had been so much of a change on the inside that didn't have expression in the world. And I believe that it gave me that visibility and the tools to actually recreate myself and to put what I knew was happening on the inside into a form that developed into later to developing Midwest Interplay here. So it was through many other women and through Cynthia Winton Henry, who's a co-founder of Interplay, and many, many, many other women that I stand on their shoulders. And I, you know, as the other host was talking, I think I was a very independent woman. I can do it alone. I don't need anybody. And what I'm finding is that I don't have all the skills and the tools, and that there is a community and family who's willing to help and embrace.
And within the community, you just get so much joy from the networking and the interaction, the laughter of other people who are, you know, on that journey of discovery. Mm-hmm. So if folks wanted to maybe learn a little bit more about Interplay, mm-hmm. There's a website. Could you direct?
It's called interplay.org.
Okay.
It's the international website, Kansas City and all other cities. It's an international website. And then there's also Midwest Interplay Facebook page. Okay. And so they can, individuals who are interested, there's Wednesday night playgroups.
And where's the Wednesday night playgroup?
At Plaza Wellspring.
Okay.
And then I'm also starting a group called Deeper Still, and it's playing with content and discovering that deep inner self and our gifts that we were, inherent gifts within us. So through movement, through dance, through play, through song, through voice, through stillness. And that, so you'll find out more on Facebook.
And the playgroups are so playful and fun and very energizing and great music. And, you know, I have gone to some of the playgroups and I just smile when I'm there because it is just an experience. And I think you have also tried Interplay as well, Sharon?
Yes, I did. Yes, it is very, it's slow, it's thoughful, it seems like that's what I recall from trying it, was it wasn't a real exertion, it wasn't
sometimes
difficult.
Sometimes it is. It's kind of there's a mix depending on the group body that I, so sometimes the energy level may be high in the group, sometimes the energy level may be low, so it's reading the group, but I mean the forms are playful, mm-hmm. and they're easy, and it's anybody can do it. It's like, you know, I describe it as like a kid going on the playground. They don't, you know, think, well, what do I have to do when I'm on the playground? They do it. So the forms and the instructions lend to, I can do this. You know, so you're recreating yourself and reinventing yourself in Interplay all the time.
Didn't you just sort of put on music and then tell us to just move to whatever we felt like moving?
There were simple instructions that led you to create your own form, to create how your body wanted to move. So it was more of an inner expression that came through the movement and just these simple instructions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And last year, I know you did an Interplay part of the 1 Billion Rising down by the plaza. We all stood out and we were dancing around for the awareness. Remember, I forgot what project that was, but it
Women
like
Rise. Was it
1 Billion Rising?
1 Billion Rising, yes. And then Interplay, I think, did
We did. There was a piece, and it really gave people a voice. I think we all have a, we want to be witnessed, we want to be noticed, we want to share what's in our hearts. And part of the and that's part of Interplay, and also this piece with 1 Billion Rising was allowing each other to be witnessed and to share what was there in our hearts to share, and to use movement and the voice and the witnessing to notice what was really important to us and what was there.
When you say voice, sometimes the voice is used to express just different tones or sounds, but sometimes the voice is used to express a story. And so there's this great sharing that can occur. So there's so many different levels to the Interplay experience. And so I would, I appreciate you sharing your expertise. But I am kind of intrigued because I haven't witnessed the Leela Village. And for folks who might want to get some information, is the Leela Village also on Facebook?
It is. It's an open community. It's been a dream of mine for about 5 years that... that children know their own leadership, they know their own creativity, they can discover their abilities. I think, as adults and as children, this is how, don't color outside the lines, this is how you do it. And so we get so conditioned in our life that there's maybe little chance for freedom and our own expression. So it's through art and movement and play, it's starting in... at Kids Park. We're starting there, and we're going to be moving into other play schools. We're hoping to start, I was going to ask you about, to have a in the parks to create the movement and art and with children, so that relates to Interplay as well as other activities. So we're going to let children dictate and ask them questions and let them lead, but with these simple instructions and activities. So
in a safe environment.
Correct.
So that's just sounds so intriguing. I love it. Well, another journey or a step in your journey was you. I know with maybe the last year had a pretty significant trip to Nepal. And were you gone for several weeks?
I was gone for a month. Actually, a friend of mine, Samir, gifted me with this trip. I've always had a dream to go to the Himalayas. And so he gifted me with this trip, and it was a 12-day trekking trip up to the Himalayas in Nepal. It's called the Annapurna Sanctuary. And so I went with a group that I didn't know, and there were no roads. We had Sherpas, and we took our own backpacks, and it was a continual hike up to the Himalayas. And the group that I think... what I envisioned, and I think envisioning and intention and affirmation are so important, what I envisioned was I'm going to be dancing up this mountain. And I literally danced up the mountain.
I'm sure you did, Davey.
But what I got to learn, I think that we all think that what we're searching for is outside of ourselves. And... I was thinking on this journey not only to be in the Himalayas and to be in that energy and the spirituality of that landscape and the people and the honoring of the everyday sacred, was that I was thinking, well, I'll meet some guru, meet somebody who'll be my teacher. And as I was trekking by myself up to what's called Melarupa's Cave, who was an ancient aesthetic master. And as I was walking up to the trekking up to this cave, a voice came and said, "You are your own teacher."
That is profound. I've heard those voices before.
That's great. And was that a feeling, like a peaceful feeling, just kind of an aha moment?
I had heard that before, and I think we're all, there's a search outside of ourselves, like somebody has the answer, somebody has a better way, I need for someone to show me the way, and not that there isn't a thread that others have left, you know, for us to follow. But there's, you know, what came to me is that who we're searching for is really ourselves.
Would you like to take a caller?
That's the journey.
Would you like to take a caller?
Sure.
We're going to get that caller on the air.
Okay.
Pretty quickly there. Caller, you're on the air. What part of town are you calling from, and what's your first name?
This is Blind Guy from Midtown.
I just got in on this.
It's a fascinating subject. The woman that was saying that she heard voices like you are your own teacher, please spell for me the word guru.
Can you spell guru? Is it G-H-R-U?
G-U-R-U.
G-U-R-U. Get it?
G-U-R-U.
Oh, I thought it was a trick question.
Oh, I love
very
that.
Very enlightening. Thank
G-U-R-U.
You.
Oh, boy. That's funny.
Well, this has been wonderful to have you, Davey, and we would love to have you come back and share some more
of your wisdom.
And also Sharon also has been on some world trips, and it is that just being happy and comfortable with yourself, you can go anywhere. And both you ladies are inspiring to me because, you know, you haven't let anything in your life stop you from that discovery. So thanks a lot for coming down today, Davey.
My pleasure.
Stay tuned for Urban Connections with Donna Wolf. I'm Molly Postlewaite. It's always a joy and an honor to come down and work with Sharon Lockhart and Amy Bell. And we'll be here next Saturday as well.